Chapter 16. I stood on the makeshift platform back at Magpie Mansion and gripped the lampstand Puck found for me like I was Freddie goddamn Mercury himself. And then, the brave Emma Newbold, with the help of her friends Raz and Dave, she saved every man, every woman, every child with a mighty flash!
Oh, David!
Emma exclaimed as she abruptly stopped strumming the battered guitar with a blush high on her lovely cheeks. What? I asked, and gave her an innocent grin that apparently wasn't fooling her going by her little glare.
I didn't know when you asked me to accompany you during your song you would be caterwauling about me,
she said, and her sky-blue eyes bashfully tracked over the amassed magpies who were all cheering her on, which only added to her blush. Her gaze stopped on a Crasis, who was standing at the front of the crowd with her fingers laced in front of her.
Did you have any idea about this?
Dave Meyer has been humming that tune unconsciously for the past 12 hours, so yes, I may have had some idea.
Then, wonder of wonders, Raz smiled one of those serene smiles that were becoming more commonplace on her face these days, and winked. Perfectly. Emma's jaw fell open, and she blinked at the slime girl before looking at me, to which I was absolutely no help. Flash! Emma! I sang, and then pointed to the magpies as if I was the greatest rock star in the world, and not a nerdy brainiac that sang a little off-key from time to time. Savior of the universe! The magpies all chorused on beat, and then all of them cheered and whistled when Emma hid her flaming face in her hands.
You're all just too...
she mumbled, but she couldn't finish her sentence, so I pulled her in and kissed her face all over until she finally broke and laughed along with everyone. And that's basically how we all did it, I summed up for the magpies, as I concluded the impromptu jam session they called telling.
Well, on behalf of all my beauties at Magpie Mansion, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts,
Mama Bee said with a moist glimmer in her electric blue shadowed eyes. Then she snapped her long-nailed fingers, and several punks assembled with packages, rolls of plastic sheeting and chicken wire, and all kinds of other things loaded up into boxes and crates.
We have everything you requested and a few extras mixed in there. You all are also honorary magpies for life. Now come here, sugars.
The buxom diva, Divine 2.0, and the Miss Wendy to this punk group of lost boys opened her thick arms wide and beckoned the three of us into a crushing hug. When we broke free of her suffocating embrace, Riggs came up and took her place with a less smothering but just as enthusiastic round of back patting.
I seriously hope things work out well for you and your family, the Afro-Punk said, and handed me a pair of Nam-Shubs. I did a few adjustments to them, and I managed to deprogram all the advertising, as well as downloaded various software that could be useful, like nature-identifying apps and a few knowledge bases and encyclopedias. Remember, they have promethium batteries, so all you have to do to charge them is set them out in the sunlight for 15 minutes or so.
Oh, slick, I said, and folded up the goggles so I could hang them from the collar of the sweet Grateful Dead t-shirt Kennedy gifted me.
And I also downloaded a helpful how-to for those solar panels, Riggs said.
Awesome. Thank you all so much, I said, and shook the man's hand. And hey, if you ever run across a guy named Solomon Meyer, I would be really grateful if you could extend him the same hospitality as you did me.
Groovy, Riggs said with a big grin. Tell him to drop by any time. If he's your family, he's ours.
Someone cleared their throat, and Riggs moved aside to reveal a guilty-looking gear rat. Oh, no, I said, as I scrutinized him from head to toe. Didn't Puck say something about that face, Puck? The girl with the cotton-candy pink mohawk popped up from where she was clearing the mini-stage. She took one glance at Rat and narrowed her pretty brown eyes rimmed with silver glitter.
What'd you do this time?
She accused and stood up with her hands on her hips.
Do? Me? Well, I was only curious, you see, and, I mean, come on, Pucky, it's a Model T! How do you expect me to...
The twitchy man rambled, but Puck's raised hand stopped him in his tracks.
Spark plugs?
She asked.
No, I found those. It's just... Well, maybe you all should just take these and come see...
Rat said, as he handed me a set of keys with a red rabbit's foot keychain, and then his shoulders slumped in defeat as he shuffled toward the door. I exchanged a confused glance with Puck, but she simply rolled her eyes and led us through the foyer and out to where the burnt orange jamboree was sitting in the driveway where Misfit and X-Ray were finishing up loading the trailer previously hitched to the Model T.
"Basically, I got carried away and took apart Lizzie," Rat sighed and scratched the back of his head. "And since the engine is in 1,000 pieces right now, the Magpies and I would like you to also have the jamboree."
"And?"
came Mama Bee's voice from where she was standing on the porch with her arms crossed as she tapped her platformed foot.
"And I am really very sorry," he mumbled like a scolded puppy.
"Oh, man, I'll miss this thing," I chuckled and clapped the twitchy dude on the shoulder. "But actually, it might be best if we take it off your hands. If anyone remembers this thing leaving the QL building, they might put 2 and 2 together and come looking for you guys."
"Well, when you put it that way, then it's almost like I did a good thing, right?"
Rat said, and then Puck came up and looped her arm around his neck so she could give him a noogie. Then the rest of the Magpies filed out onto the porch around Mama Bee and waved at the three of us as we piled into the Jeep. Puck came up to the rolled-down window on the driver's side and hung her elbow over my door.
"If you're ever in Detroit again, look us up,"
she said, and then nibbled one of her snakebite piercings with her top teeth before she leaned in and pecked me on the cheek. Then she clipped a small device to the right side of the goggles' frames.
"An accessory to your Nam Shub. Wait to explore it later. I think you'll like it."
"Okay, I will," I said, and with one last wave at our new friends, my ladies and I hit the road with our sustainability swag and our new orange Jeep Jamboree. The drive back to our camp was a lot more serene, especially when Abby only gave helpful, practical route advice that actually saved us about $300 spoof dollars instead of intentionally driving up the cost by taking us on the most expensive roads. When I remembered how manipulative the corporate government of America was, it was just that much more satisfying when I realized we basically served them the equivalent of a kick in the balls. Or maybe we neutered them. Well, definitely something with the balls. And it hurt.
"Explain to me again that song you were singing,"
Emma said as she rested her head back against the seat with her eyes closed as she turned her face into the afternoon sunlight. Her long ebony hair was loose and draped over the seat back where Acrasis was busy using it to teach herself how to braid.
"I don't think you want me to explain it. I think you just want me to sing it again," I said with a cheeky grin.
"Flash! Emma, Queen of the Impossible!"
"You know, you probably could have a lovely singing voice if you applied yourself,"
Emma said, and peered at me out from the corner of her eye.
"What are you talking about? Do my dulcet tones not please you?"
I reached over and poked her in the side.
"Oh, darling, your tones are about as dulcet as a wet hen,"
she said with a teasing little grin as she swiped my tickling fingers away.
"Just you wait, your pretty ears don't know what they've been missing," I said, and then proceeded to sing every tune I knew horribly and off-key for the rest of the ride, while Acrasis attempted to use her slime mold powers to cover my mouth as Emma laughed. When we finally made it back to our little patch of earth, I just sat behind the wheel for a moment, overwhelmed with just how happy I was to be back. Since this crazy whirlwind started, things had been one unpredictable sledgehammer to the face after another. So having a place that remained unchanged and dependable was kind of a big deal for me right now. Things like Honest Abe's rusted blue chassis and missing trunk, Floppy's towing cart, and the ramshackle little shack we had built all kept me sane in a world where every day brought new terrifying challenges, where I was a stranger in a strange, yet familiar, land. And of course, Fila, the woman I started this adventure with, and my anchor to the reality that, yes, I really was hurtling through parallel universes with no return, strode out of the shack with her tawny, tufted ears perked high and lion-like tail curved into a question mark as she rushed out to fuck shit up with her garden weasel. God, how I missed her. I jumped out of the cab, and she stopped short when she saw it was just us and not some rando in a jamboree.
"Dave Meyer!"
she exclaimed, and dropped the weasel into the dirt as she sprinted at me full tilt. I met her halfway and swept her up into an embrace that caused her to yelp adorably when I spun her around in a circle. When her feet were back on the ground, she nuzzled her head against my face like an actual cat would do and immediately began purring.
"I missed you so much, V,"
I whispered as I pressed my forehead against hers so I could just gaze into her eyes for a moment.
The slitted cat's pupils dilated, and I could actually hear her heart rate kick up a notch as her nostrils flared.
I confess, it has only been a day without you by my side, but already your scent has begun to fade from my skin.
She closed her eyes and butted me against my cheek again and then buried her face into the curve of my neck.
You smell like sweat and meadows full of sun, but I do not like the shirt you are wearing.
This? I looked down at the dancing rainbow teddy bears on my shirt. Yeah, a friend of mine gave it to me.
You made friends?
Fila asked as Emma and Acrasis walked up to join us.
The magpies are truly lovely people, Fila. I wish you could have met them,
Emma said as Acrasis continued to braid her midnight hair. So far, half of Emma's head had about 5 braids of varying sizes.
You must paint me a picture with your words about your adventures, like Song Spinner, so I can pretend I was actually there with you,
Fila said, and then broke away from my embrace to investigate what Raz was doing. Hey, Fila, where's Floppy and Saul? I asked, as I finally noticed 2 very important people were missing from this reunion. Before she could answer, a familiar roaring trumpet sounded as the baby mammoth in question crashed through the trees at the edge of our dirt patch, with a crazy-haired bastard wielding a chainsaw like Ash from Evil Dead.
Die, corporate scum!
Saul screamed as Floppy reared back onto 2 legs and kicked the air.
Saul!
I yelled and held my hands up for the universal sign of please don't chainsaw me.
Dave?
He asked as he killed the chainsaw, and Floppy cocked his big-eared head.
What's up with the Jeep? And where the hell is the Model T?
That is a long and epic story that I promise we'll all tell you. But first, we came bearing gifts. Let's check it out. I jerked my thumb over my shoulder to the jamboree, and Saul shrugged and slid off Floppy so they could both come over to investigate. Nice chainsaw, by the way, I said, and nudged Saul with my elbow and then scrubbed Floppy's flanks to let him know I'd missed him.
Fila and I saw this orange monstrosity through my security cams heading toward my property, and she took off first so she could defend the fort you guys built while I set traps on my place in case I had to pull a Hindenburg.
Saul rambled as all of us began unloading the many things the magpies gave us.
That reminds me. I'd better not forget to disarm the dead man's switch later, or there goes my ass up in smithereens.
Please don't, I said, with a nervous chuckle, as I stopped rubbing a drowsy Floppy who had rolled over onto his back like a dog. Even though Saul was just being flippant, a sharp twist knotted up my gut at the thought of this Saul, or any Saul in any universe, dying, or not existing even.
Hey, don't worry, kiddo,
Saul said, as he pulled my thoughts straight out of my head like he always did.
I'll even set a timer on my watch if it makes you feel any better.
Nah, I know you're smarter than that, I said, and shook off the suddenly cold and clammy feeling. I was being ridiculous and maybe a bit sentimental, as our time in this AU was almost over. According to my dimensional engine patent-pending wristwatch, we had about 7 more hours until the next jump, so I better make the most of the time I had with my pseudo-Uncle Dad.
You bet your tits I'm smarter than that. Smartest in the universe,
Saul said, and hooked me around the back of my neck so he could ruffle my hair real quick. And the gesture was so familiar, the only thing preventing me from roughhousing right back with the old man was the simple underlying fact that he wasn't actually my old man. So far, you're the smartest guy I've met across multiple universes, so you might be right. But I think the jury's still out, I said, as I shoved him off me with a laugh.
What do you mean the jury's still out?
Saul said in mock outrage. Saul, 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 I shook my head sadly and clapped him on the shoulder. XYZ, my man.
What kind of fucking badass awkward dreck are you spewing, kid?
Saul asked. It means your fly is down, I grinned at his stunned expression and then went about helping the girls unload the jamboree and corresponding trailer.
No good, Nudnik.
Saul grumbled from behind me, and I tried to bite back a smile when I heard a telltale zip. The magpies really made good on their word because it took us nearly an hour to unload everything and organize it. On top of the bottle tower supplies, a kit with wooden tarps, and a little instruction manual on how to craft raised vegetable gardens was included with a handwritten note from Puck, and I figured this was another one of her genius designs I couldn't wait to implement. They also gave us an old tea box full of little sachets of seeds with neat labels with more of Puck's spidery writing. It looked like we had seeds anywhere from arugula to zucchini, and by the looks of it, we would be eating for months, if not years. With the supplies and instructions for the solar stills, they also included a used but near-perfect Coleman solar shower that I knew must have cost them an arm and a leg. And yet they gave it to us when that wasn't even something I was thinking about when I jumped on the chance to make my requests.
Is this really what I think it is?
Emma gasped as she unfolded the bag-like contraption and read the instructions on the side.
Hot showers, baby,
I cheered, and thrust both fists up into the air. And look, soap! Moving on up! Along with the soap, the magpies gave us crates full of canned, jarred, and dried foods, a small kit of cooking supplies and spices, a toolbox with a variety of hand tools like saws and hammers, a box of linens and clothes of all types, a better sewing kit, and one final present in the form of...
Holy flaming shit! Those hippies really know how to party!
Sol exclaimed when he came across a box with at least 6 1-liter bottles of Kennedy's Moonshine and a mason jar with about 2 full ounces of Scoob's weed with handwritten notes from each instructing us to rock on.
But you haven't seen the pièce de résistance,
I said in a silly French accent, and then pulled out the long flat objects wrapped in canvas.
Solar panels! Damn, kid!
Sol said, with a funny expression on his face that looked familiar, but I couldn't quite place it.
I know you did them a favor, but what did you do, blow up some top-secret files or do some Robin Hood shit?
Actually, yes, I said, and went over so I could flick on the Jamboree's battery and turn on the radio. I held up my finger for Sol to wait as the usual advertising garbage played before the newscast that had been playing all day finally cropped up and outlined what had taken place at the Quicken Loans HQ.
New evidence suggests this might have been a targeted vigilante attack, and the federal police are now looking for a terrorist cell of biohackers with a possible electrical field sub-effects. The FP urges the public to come forward with any information regarding the events that happened at the Detroit Quicken Loans headquarters. If you have tips that lead to the capture and arrest of the saboteurs, you could be entitled to a cash reward, or total loan forgiveness by the CEO of Quick...
I switched it off before the news guy could suddenly transform into an ad machine like some sort of spammy werewolf, as if any public broadcasting would be remiss to go more than 2 whole minutes without trying to bash their consumer citizens to death.
That was you guys?
Sol boggled. Mostly Emma, I said, and pulled her close so I could kiss her blushing cheek.
Oh, I only used my Westinghouse powers,
the dark-haired beauty said as she fanned her flushed face.
It was these two who were like 2 daring spies, just like 007.
Wait, I said and whipped my head toward her. How do you know about James Bond if your Earth never got around to making films?
I can only assume films are something that requires electricity on your Earth. But the folk tales of James Bond were legendary and always told around the Christmas fire,
she said, and her eyes sparkled. That's right. In your world, it was Tesla who conquered in the current wars. Ergo, Edison never made the first film on the world's first moving picture camera, I said, as I remembered the one class I took for my liberal arts humanities credit called Film and... yeah, the Humanities.
Because there was no such thing as movies, your society must have gone back to orally passed down forms of entertainment, which means it was possible for both of us to experience the same James Bond stories, just told through different mediums.
It's weird that you also had James Bond, though, especially with the same name. Maybe these stories are constants in the universe?
I am not sure I understand what it is you did, Dave Meyer, only that you defeated a foe,
Phyla said as she cocked one ear and tilted her head.
You are used to pack dynamics, Phyla.
Acrasis spoke up in her measured voice.
It is similar to a pack leader who is sworn to provide and protect its members, but steals from them instead and takes their freedom, even though they are forced to work hard for them every day.
I am very familiar with this situation,
Phyla growled, and her white fangs flashed a little in the late afternoon sun. It's basically like that, only on a bigger scale, I added. And what Emma did was like, well, how would someone remove a pack leader from power without killing them?
It was common practice to defang a pack leader, but this was a fate worse than death because of how shameful it is to be a no-tooth,
Phyla said.
Oh, that's a perfect analogy, Phyla,
Emma said and clapped her hands a little.
We defanged those awful leaders.
Fuck, I was one of those poor schlubs that was tied up out the ass with a small personal loan I took out in 95 that kept increasing its interest rate until I had to fake my death and live on the lam. Fucking Illuminati reptile pedo fucks. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, I'm sorry I never had you in this universe, Dave. But I'm glad one of me did, because, shit, I'm proud of you, kiddo.
He looked at me again with that odd look, and then it hit me. I remembered where I'd seen that expression on the old man's face before. It was present when I won the fifth grade science fair, and when I graduated high school, and every time I answered one of his questions correctly, or beat him in chess. It was the exact same expression as the one he was wearing now. It was pride.
Thanks, Dad, Uncle Sol, I said, and diverted my eyes as that gut-kick feeling of being torn in two made my eyes sting a bit.
He was Sol, but... I cleared my throat and shoved my hands into my pockets.
What do you think? Can you help us wire up our cabin with these babies?
Sol said as he looked them over. I don't think it's possible with what you got going in that shack over there. The simple fact is you need a bit more of an infrastructure than four walls and a shoddy roof. Cork won't keep that thing together forever.
Yeah, I had a feeling, but that's okay. I'm working on a plan for a better shelter for our next jump.
I wrapped the canvas around the panels again and hiked them over my shoulder so I could bring them into the cabin at least.
Hypothetically, it involves a shipping container. You wouldn't happen to have one, would you?
Yeah, I wish. I see where you're going with that, though, and I would help you if I could.
Sol picked up the Nam Shubs from the top of the box full of weed and alcohol labeled Party, and then put them on his face for a moment.
Wow. Whoever improved these is a genius.
That's Riggs up at the mansion, I said, and started for the cabin with my load along with everyone else. I put in a good word for you, and you're welcome up there any time, they said.
Oh, thanks, kid. But I'm a lone wolf, Sol grunted as he hefted the Party box under one arm.
You don't have to be, you know, I said, after we all finished bringing in the last of the magpie swag. You could come with us.
No, I couldn't, kid,
Sol said and rubbed his scruffy chin.
Yes, you could. The dimensional engine patent pending leaves in just under 5 hours. Plenty of time for you to gather some personal items and...
No, you don't get it, kid,
Sol interrupted, but not unkindly.
I'm free now. I don't have to go by an alias or fly under the radar. I can assemble some forces for once. You know, fight the good fight, full arsenal, guns blazing, all that.
What are you saying? I asked, and I tried not to sound like a deflating balloon in the process.
I'm saying I still got work to do here, Sol said with a rueful smile as he gripped my shoulder. But if you ever run into a Sol who can figure out those red numbers, remember to jot down the address. And if you're ever back here, just, drop me a line or something.
Okay, I said roughly, and cleared my throat again as swallowing became difficult all of a sudden.
So, as a cover, I stuck out my hand to shake.
I will.
Good,
Sol said as he grasped my hand in his. Then he pulled me in for a quick hug and a pat on the back.
You did great, kiddo.
Thanks,
I said as we broke apart.
Sure.
He smiled the kind of smile that made the crow's feet pop out on either side of his kind brown eyes.
But all this mishigas is making me very verklempt, so I suggest we break into the moonshine, hang up a sheet over there, and use this bad boy for an impromptu movie night.
What do you mean? I asked, as I watched him take off the goggles and then press a little button on the device that Puck added to the frames. Suddenly, the back wall of the cabin showed the Namshub's GUI as it was projected through the Puck device. Then, Sol majiggered the bezels on the frames like an old iPod until he pulled up an app that was in the entertainment folder. I gasped as a window popped up and the screen filled with a library full of downloaded movies ranging from the mid-1920s all the way to 1999.
Oh, sweet mother of movies, Emma. You are about to be schooled on all things film,
I said as Sol scrolled through the list.
Stop! We have to watch Dr. No right the heck now! Who's on snacks?
I'll find us something to nibble on,
Emma volunteered as her sky-blue eyes lit up with excitement like two lanterns.
This is just like when we would tell and sing folk tales. Leave it to me.
I'll get the glasses for the booze, Sol said.
I must tend to Floppy and make sure he is fed, and then I will join you,
Fila said.
And I will attempt to help Dave Meyer with the rest,
Acrasis finished. We then broke apart and went about our assigned tasks, and finally, when the sheet was hung along the back wall, the snacks of dried fruits, candied almonds, and some kind of jerky for Fila was gathered, and we each had a small glass of truly awful alcohol, all of us kind of piled together on the floor where Acrasis and I stacked the futon mattress and any pillows and linens we could find. We spent the next few hours watching all the James Bonds, through the 90s at least, before I found out that Flash Gordon was also downloaded and nearly lost my shit. It was wonderful, almost too wonderful, because I kept bumping up the time for just one more hour. It was after Howard the Duck had ended and all of the girls had fallen asleep when Saul reached out and stopped me from adding an extra hour for the fourth time.
Hey, kid, Saul said, and shook his head slightly. You gotta get going. Fila filled me in on what happens if you stay past 72 hours.
I know, I just... I cut myself off because I really didn't know what else to say.
Come on,
he said, and glanced down at my watch where the timer read 9:58.
Let's take a walk.
It was dark out, but the good thing was that the moon was full this night, so we could see perfectly as we walked to the edge of the dirt circle. He stood on the other side of the line, and then he bent down and picked up a handful of rocks. He handed me a few, and then he turned so he could throw one at a nearby tree with a no trespassing sign. I smiled a little and started throwing them too, because trying to fill the time with talking about our feelings was not something Solomon Meyer did in any universe. Finally, when the timer was down to its last few minutes, he turned to me and placed both hands on my shoulders.
Keep your chin up, Dave, he said.
And the sound of my actual name coming from his mouth was still foreign enough it grabbed my attention instantly.
You're smart, I notice about you, even though we've only just met. If you really are anything like me, you're resourceful. Keep trying to seek me out as you journey on. I can't guarantee I'll be the most friendly. Actually, scratch that. There are universal constants, kid, pay attention. This I do have figured out that maybe your Sol didn't. Most of the universes are random and branch off in infinite directions based on infinite decisions. But some of these events are fixed.
Like the James Bond thing, I said, as I looked down at my watch. There were 2 minutes left before the jump.
Exactly, Saul said urgently. Some events are too momentous, and some traits are so intrinsic they leave an impression on all of space-time, and my theory is that even though there are multiple universes, they are all stitched into the same fabric. Look, my point is, there are just some things that remain the same no matter which universe you go to. For example, I can guarantee within a very narrow degree of certainty that JFK was assassinated across all universes, the mathematics of which are too complex, so I won't bore you by going into them now, but fuck those banker Rothschild lizard fucks in their fucking assholes, by the way. Ipso facto, across all universes, Solomon Meyer is also probably a distrustful, paranoid, genius crackpot, and is likely to be hostile when approached.
Yeah, you think? I snorted when I remembered how Saul greeted us, with his shotgun.
Anyway, kid, what I mean is for every cantankerous Saul, there has to be a Doris to mellow him out, he said, as his eyebrows furrowed.
But you said you didn't know a Doris, I said, as the Dep let out a small warning that there was only 60 seconds left before the jump.
I lied, Saul said, with his crooked grin, as he patted my face with one calloused hand. There's always a Doris. Just keep that in mind if you ever need to put any other me's into my place. She's likely the only thing that will get me to listen and not do something like shoot you on sight. Actually, I'm not entirely sure why I didn't do that in the first place with you. Maybe I recognized you. Or me, or whatever.
Yeah, thanks for that, I said, and the beeping signaled we were about to jump. Saul backed out of the circle and raised his hand.
You did good, kid. Remember, stay smart, and see you on the flip side.
I raised my hand and waved back as Honest Abe began his high-pitched whine as the dimensional engine patent-pending got ready to jump. And as my pseudo-father-slash-uncle dissolved into the light of the new world, I wondered what was in store for me next. End of Book 3.